to Christ, penetrating that perfect truth, the sacrament with, even in a 100,000 myriad calibus. Now I can see and hear it, and can remember and accept it. I have to make it with the truth, one with myself.
I see the Buddha, I see the Dharma, I see the Sangha. Here's a question that can arise from the previous two talks in this series. This question is, or can be put like this. Is it not falling into judgmentalism to determine in one's own mind that some people are being seriously deluded and confused, and that one should avoid their company, avoid taking refuge in them, distance oneself from them in some way or other? In responding to this question, the first thing I would say is that, of course, it is always possible to fall into judgmentalism. That is always a possibility, and we have to guard against this. Judgmentalism implies a kind of hardness of heart, a kind of willful cutting off of others, pridefulness, looking down on others. But I use a kind of analogy in my talks. I pointed out that if someone decided that by waving his arms he could fly and went up on the top of a roof and jumped off waving his arms, you know, he'd fall down and get hurt. Because just believing that waving your arms can make you fly doesn't make you able to fly by waving your arms. Now, is it judgmental to recognize that someone who believes that waving your arms can make you fly is mistaken in that belief? Not necessarily. If you stop there, this is a mistaken belief. I don't want to join in that belief. That's not being judgmental. What's being judgmental is saying, oh, what an idiot, what a fool. So if you want a sign that you're being judgmental, think in terms of, are you despising someone or holding someone in contempt because of their beliefs, because of their action? You may have noted that I put the word respect in places when I was talking about not going along with certain points of view, certain attitudes, certain ways of acting. I talked about keeping a respectful distance, respectfully distancing oneself. This is how a Buddhist approaches this kind of problem. Don't abandon the respect. All beings possess the Buddha nature. The fact that all beings possess the Buddha nature is universal. It applies to everyone. You can't, by deluding yourself, by doing wicked actions, you can't lose your Buddha nature. You can't be ever not part of the eternal. There are Buddhas who show you what is good to do. There are Buddhas who show you what is not good to do. One can bow to both Buddhas. So here we're really talking about keeping the precepts at a deep level. Keeping the precepts not only in action, but in speech and in thought. And here again I wish to point out something that I often point out, but I have to remind myself of this. So I figure if I have to remind myself of this a lot, probably it doesn't hurt to remind other people about it now and then. And that is that in whatever way you despise or hold others in contempt, in whatever way you hate others, in exactly that way you will despise yourself and hold yourself in contempt and hate yourself. There is no ultimate distinction of self and other, because we all do possess the Buddha nature. We are all part of the eternal. So we have to understand, the precepts, in the true spirit of the precepts, we have to understand that in breaking the precepts about speaking against others, judging others, being proud of oneself and judging others, precept about do not be angry, all of these precepts have the deep meaning that we are hurting ourselves when we do these things. If I think badly of a particular person, or if I speak badly about that person, the person I'm really hurting is myself. Therefore, everyone we come in contact with, whether that person be acting in an enlightened way or in an unenlightened way, that person is a teacher for us. That person becomes a teacher for me as soon as I come in contact with him or her, as soon as I hear news about him or her. That person becomes a teacher for me. Never despise your teacher. Bow to them. Some teachers show you the way to do things right. Some teachers show you the way to do things wrong. Learn from both. Don't despise either. To live in this way is to stay grounded in one's own spiritual center, one's own Buddha nature, and to be free from malice, small-mindedness. Whatever Master Jiyu showed us above everything else through example and in her teaching, but above all in her example, was a magnificence of spirit, a greatness of heart, a great-hearted benevolence, generosity. And this above all is what the Zen trainee should emulate. Generosity of spirit. The story about the great Chinese master Suyun, who lived to be 120 years old. When he was 109 years old, the Chinese communists, a group of Chinese communists, almost beat him to death. And he was on the edge of death. And he chose not to die at that time. He was 109 years old and he was being beaten up bad. He chose not to die so that the people who were beating him would not have the karma of killing a monk. Maybe it's very likely that some of them killed other monks, but he hung on to life when he could have let go and died so that they would not bear the karma of killing him. That is how great-hearted it is possible to be if one truly does Buddhist training. If a whole bunch of people are up on a roof waving their arms and claiming that they're going to fly, they all go in walking to the edge of the roof waving their arms vigorously and start jumping off. Don't despise them and don't follow their example. But have compassion for them and see if there's anything you can do to help. That's the Buddhist way. In the reading that I did from the Shishogi, the word heresy was used, and I described it as a confusion about Buddhist teaching, deluded view of Buddhist teaching. One heretical view is that there are any beings who do not have the Buddha nature. Therefore, if one has contempt for any being, one is entering into a heretical view. Another heretical view is the one that Great Master Dogen emphasizes in the paragraphs that I read from the first section of the Shishogi. And put very simply, that is that any being can achieve a state in which that being is not subject to the law of karma and rebirth. There have been people in the history of Buddhism who came to view themselves as being enlightened and came to think that their enlightenment freed them from the law of karma. That is a very grievous mistake indeed, and it is never true. Enlightenment does not liberate us from the function of the law of karma. No one is so enlightened that the precepts do not apply to them. If one keeps the precepts naturally and unselfconsciously, one is exhibiting enlightenment through one's actions, in one's daily life, without ever thinking that one is or is not enlightened. That is true enlightenment. True spiritual freedom is freedom from being controlled by greed, hate, and delusion. It is not giving oneself over to greed, hate, and delusion, claiming all the while that there are no consequences to one's actions. That is just creating a terrible prison for oneself spiritually. And that is a route that leads to madness if one pursues it. So, Great Master Dogen's caution about avoiding heretical views is a very serious caution. And bearing that in mind, we should remember always to take refuge in what the Dharma truly is, as it has been truly transmitted, and not take refuge in confused and warped versions of the Dharma. Homage to all the Buddhas in all the world. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all the world. Homage to the scriptures.